If you can release your assumptions, the chances that you have a better birth experience are exponentially higher. And I actually didn't realize this until several years into my birth work journey. And what actually made me realize it was I was looking in home birth Facebook groups, and there were several women who said, I just gave birth at home. Everything went fine. I'm healthy. My baby's healthy. We didn't even have to transfer, but I'm traumatized by my birth experience. And it just made me step back and think, well, you're fine. Your baby's fine. You gave birth at home. Nothing went wrong. Why are you traumatized? And I went down into that rabbit hole.
Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. It's time. The My Essential Birth postpartum course is here. Whether you're pregnant, just got baby home, or weeks and months into postpartum, this is the course for you. No more wondering what's normal for your body postpartum, if baby's eating or pooping enough, or how to get a good latch. You now have an all-in-one resource where you can click a topic and get the answer. Learn more at myessentialbirth.com/postpartum and add it onto the My Essential Birth course for even less when you bundle them at checkout. Already in the course? Check your student library and add the course for the same discount. I can't wait to support you on your postpartum journey.
Welcome back. And this week's reviewer of the week is KateCast425. She says, game changer for a first birth. Pregnant with my second baby, and I'm on round two of binging every episode because I find them so educational and empowering. Anytime anyone tells me they are expecting, I immediately suggest this podcast and birthing course because I know they made all the difference in my first labor. Thank you so much, Kate. I absolutely love reading these, you guys. And it cracks me up when you guys are like, I'm binging every episode. Round two. That is amazing. There's a lot of episodes now. I can't believe it. We just did 200, I feel like, not too long ago. There's obviously always more amazing things to come. And kind of leading into that is today, I have with me Kylie Banks. Kylie is pretty amazing. I'm going to have her introduce herself, but just know that she is somebody that I greatly respect, definitely as like a business person, but also as someone who is changing things for birth in the most wonderful way. And I kind of jokingly had previously, when we had like gotten on here prior to podcasting together, I had said, there's even some things that I don't know that I am necessarily on the same page with. And I absolutely love that because it's going to give listeners, moms, whether that's here in my podcast community or looking at Kylie's Facebook or Instagram or whatever. She's got her podcast, all of that stuff. It's going to give you that contrast, and it gives an opportunity for everyone listening to kind of take what you like and leave the rest from any conversation. But anytime that there are good conversations regarding birth, the benefit is always you guys that are listening, you moms who get to take all of that in and just take that information and do what you will with it. So let's get started. Kylie, will you take a moment, kind of jump in, tell us a little about you?
Yeah, thank you so much, Stephanie. I'm so excited to be here. So my name is Kylie Banks. You might have seen me over on Instagram at The Autonomy Mommy, and I have a daughter who is 3.5, and I became a doula before I even had my daughter. So I started my journey to birth work as a birth doula, and then slowly over time, my love for birth grew, my love for business grew, I created a pretty successful in-person doula business and online childbirth education business. And now I coach doulas to do the same thing inside my programs and my podcast, like you mentioned, the Birth Worker Podcast. So you could call me like a super huge birth nerd. I like challenging anything status quo when it comes to birth. And so I also love that you mentioned some things we don't agree on, but I think that makes us even better friends. And also, I'm a huge business nerd too. I know, isn't that funny? So I had never heard the word doula until I was trying to conceive, and I actually heard it for the first time on a birth podcast, on the Birth Hour. Someone had mentioned the word doula. But for years prior, I knew I wanted to start a career that really changes lives, like a career that really helps women in some capacity. And for the years prior, I was like, well, maybe it's fitness training. Maybe it's I'll help people overcome their anxiety. Maybe I'll help people like time block their days so they just love their life more. Maybe I'll be a mindset coach, a spiritual coach. And so I had all of these ideas, but they never actually went anywhere. And then when I was trying to conceive, my conception journey was a little bit, actually pretty on average, a little more than 6 months. But throughout that time, I was listening to birth podcasts and I didn't hear the word doula right away. Like I had been listening to birth podcasts for a couple months at this point. And then at one point I heard the word doula and it was immediately like, oh my gosh, the fire under my butt was lit because it's combining all of those things that I wanted to be, the spiritual mentor, the mindset mentor, helping people overcome anxiety, helping them have really empowered and autonomous life experiences. And it was really cool to find what a doula is because a doula can encompass all of that. And so immediately when I heard, I was like, oh, yep, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be. Like, that's what I'm doing for the rest of my life. And that was only, I think, 5 years ago at this point. And I'm still just as in love with the birth experience and helping women have empowered birth experiences now. So I'm glad I found something that I could stick with.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think doula, any kind of birth work specifically, I find for the majority of women, it is a calling. It is something that you feel spiritually and even physically like drawn to. This is something that almost chooses you, you know, more often than not. And that, in my opinion, is who should be within those roles. If it is calling to you, yes, if you feel that the ability, the willingness, the calling to be that person for somebody, then that's who we need in the birth space. So I love that that is you and that you are spreading that love and joy everywhere. That's amazing. Talk to me about, so you said on Instagram, it's autonomy mommy. Talk to me a little bit about what an autonomous birth means.
Yeah. When I became a doula and as I was supporting clients and taking my own childbirth education classes when I was pregnant and studying to become a childbirth educator, I noticed that a lot of classes and a lot of even like podcasts and birth influencers focused on the same things over and over, but I never really heard anyone talking about a couple core concepts. One of them would be like mindset. And now there are a lot more people talking about mindset. I'm very grateful for that. But another one was autonomy. And to me, I actually loved the word autonomy even before I heard about being a doula. So back, remember, I was like, I want to be a fitness educator. Back then too, my ideas were like, how do I help people develop their autonomy? And it is much needed for birth, and we'll get into that. But essentially what autonomy is to me is the ability to do whatever I want and empower myself to make decisions that feel good with myself without being influenced, without being coerced, really standing true to what I want for myself. And when I was going through all these childbirth education courses and even my own doula training, no one was mentioning it. And it's funny becoming a doula before you give birth yourself, because of course you can read all the books and do all the things, but until you actually give birth yourself, there's a part of it that you don't truly, truly understand. But I'm happy to report that when I gave birth myself, all that it did was confirm that everything I thought to be true was true. And really the foundation of that is that birth is a mindset game. And the more you can develop your autonomy prior to your birth, the better. And so one of the reasons that I think my birth was so quote unquote flawless or quote unquote fearless or just, you know, amazing and epic and in every way is because I have really like tuned into my intuition and developed my autonomy for decades, to be honest. And I was just on a podcast with Dr. Berlin and he asked me a similar question. And I told him that I think my birth prep started when I was a young kid, like doing what I wanted to do and not being afraid to stand up to people who are my quote unquote authority figures and questioning even my parents when they told me what to do. I would always say, why? And I would always look for their answer. And if they couldn't give me a good answer, it like didn't sit right with me. I'm like, that's not a good answer. And that's actually the energy that I took not only into my birth, but into my pregnancy. So every single thing that anyone asked me to do or any single thing that is normal when it comes to pregnancy and birth, it wasn't that I was immediately writing it off. Not at all. I accepted plenty of interventions and interventions that were unnecessary. I accepted them happily. But what I did is I always asked why. Why is this normal? Why are we doing this? Why do you want me to do this? What is this test? What does it mean? Tell me more information. And it's really, it just goes back to not blindly following the status quo. You could totally follow the status quo, but don't do it blindly. And I think that's what autonomy really is.
I don't know that I've heard a better description of autonomy. I love the way that you describe that, especially for pregnant women that are listening right now. That's beautiful. I also think it makes me wonder, do you know what your Enneagram numbers are by any chance?
I want to say 7, but a lot of people tell me it could also be 1, but I want to say 7.
You're one of those. I love it. Where you're like, you could be this, but you could be this. That's really neat. Yeah, because I think of, I don't know, it's one thing like to be able to, it is so nice when you're the person that is able and willing to kind of be able to do those things. First of all, I feel like I'm all over the place because I have so many ideas. First of all, I love that you talked about your intuition and being in tune with that and how important it was. I also love that you experienced this, that you tuned into that, that you got prepped, that you trusted yourself for your very first birth, because if you're like me, it didn't happen until I had a bad experience. And I have a lot of moms that's very much the case. I'm grateful and I'm always excited when I get either reviews or women who are, I'm listening and I'm not even pregnant. And I'm like, who are you? Like, how do you know to do that? That's so smart. Yes, do that, you know? But to be able to come from a place of like clarity prior. And like you said, it was just like affirming all of these things. Like, could you ask for anything else for a birth experience and like walking into motherhood, what that must have done for you just postpartum as well? I just think that's beautiful.
As you were saying that, another thought popped into my head, actually, which is another part to the autonomy mix is being shameless. So being shameless in your desires. And it's not even only being shameless in your desires, but just knowing that you don't have to defend yourself to anybody. You can make a decision and it could literally be because I said so. It, like, no amount of research helps you choose the right decision because you have to tune into your intuition. So if you want to do what the research says, great. If you don't, great. But don't feel like you have to like defend yourself. And that's part of being shameless. Another part of being shameless is, and I don't know if I could say some of these nasty words on here, but can you poop in front of other people and not care that they see your poop? Can you puke on someone and not care that they're cleaning up your puke? Can you be completely naked in front of random people and not feel ashamed? Those are really big factors in having a phenomenal birth experience, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's really true. Something that I was thinking was the way that you were talking about how you were able to ask the questions why and make decisions that you trusted. And just kind of you followed that perfectly, talking about the like shamelessness of that. What do you recommend or what happens with women do you find would be such a benefit for them to know when they are not that way? When, like, I'm thinking of Enneagram numbers or things like that. Someone who is more gentle, more quiet, more reserved, more shy, maybe has some either sexual trauma or other kind of trauma in her life that makes her afraid to be able to say what she thinks when there's authority around. What does that look like for them?
Absolutely. And this is actually like one of my number one biggest tips that I want you to take away. So if you have a sticky note, like go get the sticky note. But what I want you to do is I want you to actually to start with the smallest everyday things, the smallest everyday things. And this could be you're out to eat and the waiter brings you like slightly the wrong thing. They forget like that one little piece of cheese that you asked for on your hamburger. Ask for it. Stand up for yourself. Ask for it. You can do it in a super polite way, but make that stand and make your voice heard with the thing that's as like so silly as the piece of cheese on your cheeseburger. And it could be around the house too with your partner. So starting to stand up for yourself and really just be shameless in doing whatever you want with the people you trust in your life is definitely where you have to start. So for instance, if your partner says, hey Kylie, where do you want to go to eat for dinner? Don't just say the thing that you think is going to appease the whole family. Like answer for real. Like, where do you want to go eat for dinner? If your partner says, hey, can you do the dishes real quick? And you're like, you know what? Actually, I was about to go to the gym. Go to the gym. And it doesn't have to shake up everything. It doesn't have to make you a bad person or a mean person. But sometimes we're stuck in this like good girl complex that we put what we want aside and we do what other people are asking from us. And again, saying no doesn't make us a bad person. And that's actually something that's really ingrained in us. This was a huge part of my childbirth course when I used to teach childbirth education is why are we so afraid to say no? And to be honest, it's not our fault. This is how we're raised. Yeah. We're raised that saying no is being defiant. Saying no is not respectful to authority. But start doing it just every day, little tiny, tiny, tiny scenarios, because you're not going to automatically be able to go say no to like this big authority figure. You have to practice with the small stuff.
I absolutely love that. I love it too, because I think you brought in the birth partner into that as well. And I think that's so important because we talk about communication so much. But what does that really look like? And that is like a tangible, tactical thing that women can use right now. And what good practice. Like everybody should start using that today. So yes, couldn't agree with that more. I love that. It made me think too, having your birth partner with you when you're doing those things, like even as practice, like what does this look like when you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, but someone's not listening. Maybe they don't hear you about the piece of cheese or whatever it is. Like how does your birth partner step in and stand up? Or in that birth space, like maybe you don't get to a point where that's ever going to be really comfortable for you. Hey, guess what? It's time for a doula, you know, like now we've got these other tools that we can utilize. So that's really solid. I like that a lot.
I never even thought about bringing in how amazing it would be to bring in the partner in the everyday situations, because it is so true. I think you agree about this, is we birth how we live. I'm going to say something crazy, but if we are a pushover in life and we let everybody walk all over us in everyday life, how do you think you're going to be in a birth experience? Especially if you're in maybe a hospital experience that feels a little uncomfortable with a lot of people in the white coats, we're taught to respect them. If you are a pushover everyday life, that's how you are going to be when you give birth. So cool to wrap your partner into that as you're practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like you were talking, I want to like encourage moms too that are listening and they're like, well, no, like I wouldn't be shameless right now naked in front of somebody or pooping in front of somebody or whatever. I want to tell you, like, as you are like going through birth, these things open up and become much easier to do. So don't think that if you can't do those things right now in this moment, that that'll be the case. In fact, I kind of joke that it's like one of my favorite things as a doula with like first time parents, especially mom and dad together, and mom's going through transition or she's, you know, later into labor and she starts removing clothing and dad's eyes are just like, anybody else notice my wife is naked right now? And I'm over there like, hee, like this is my favorite part, you know? So those things like come naturally, you like do get to work into it. During the actual labor of things too. So don't be too freaked out by that if you're listening.
Yes.
Yes. But yes, shameless. Shameless is a very important thing. Talk to me a little bit about intuition too. Like how did you get to a place where you can really follow that intuition? I know this is something I did not consider myself intuitive at all. Most of the time with everything prior to giving birth, I was like intuition, whatever. I just make logical decisions. That's how my brain works, you know. But when labor came, I was like, oh, there's like a whole nother side of me here. This like spiritual whatever is happening during pregnancy and birth. Intuition is a very real thing. So how do you tune into it? How do you utilize it for labor and birth?
Yeah, intuition is a muscle. we have to look at it like it's a muscle. If it's not something that you have been working out every single day, multiple times per day, it's not going to be super easy to find it and to rely on it. It's just, imagine never working out in your life and then having to like lift a boulder, you know, off of the path that you're walking on. There's no way that you're going to be able to lift this boulder. But if you've been working out, you know, every single day for the last 10 years, it's going to be a lot easier. So intuition is the same way. What I teach, I actually teach this now even inside our doula training program, I teach something called the whole body yes. So you have essentially your head, your heart, and your soul. And you could even say like your head, your heart, and some people even say like your gut or your stomach. And what I want you to do is to be able to check into all three of those things. So you can say, what is my head telling me? What is my brain telling me? Like logically, is this making sense? Okay, well, what is my heart telling me? What does my heart feel when I'm thinking about the decisions I have to make? And then you could go into your gut or your soul or whatever you want to call it, intuition essentially. And that really is just calling in, how does my whole body feel when I'm thinking about this decision? And sometimes we're wrong, right? Sometimes we think we were making the right choice and we look back and we realize we're wrong. But every time we make those mistakes, that's what just makes us get more and more and more in tune with our intuition. So I never want it to be like there's one right and one wrong answer and it's black and white like that. No, I want it to be very fluid and just something that you start to tune into more and more. And again, start with the small stuff. So it could even start, this is so funny because I met with a health coach yesterday and we were talking about tuning into the senses of when you're hungry and when you're full, just listening to your body. Even things like that can become intuitive sense. So just listening to your body, see what your body's telling you. What is your heart rate doing? What is your gut saying? And just practice it every single day. And then every time you make quote unquote the wrong decision, reflect back and ask yourself, was I feeling anything in my body that like potentially could have led me to actually have known that was the wrong decision? And maybe even actually, did I ignore something in my body that was telling me that was the wrong decision, but I did it anyway? When you maybe look back and you realize that you did make the wrong decision, that's actually some of the best practice there is. Because now you have touch points that you can go back and say, you know, I was feeling that gut feeling and I went against it. And actually, that was the wrong decision. So now next time when I feel that gut feeling, I'm going to listen to it that time.
I like that a lot, that like reflect and review. Also being gentle with yourself to understand that it's not yes or like right or wrong, that it's all about learning, like learning to tune into ourselves. And that anytime like a wrong decision is made, I have this a lot in my life where I'm like, I could beat myself up about that, or I could say like, thanks for the lesson and move forward, you know? So yeah, and I'd say that's really important when you're pregnant to not be too hard on yourself, to like trust those things. Also, don't you find that when you're like doulaing with a mom in labor, or even for yourself, that intuition is heightened, like it becomes stronger for moms when absolutely, in a safe environment allowed to use it, like it's really powerful. So yeah, I totally think that's absolutely the case. What else would you say to moms listening? So you mentioned like birth course prep. How important do you think having a good birth course on your way to giving birth is? And what kind of things should they be utilizing kind of on a daily basis that will be helpful for them as they do that?
Yeah, such a great question. I love just in my life, and I don't even stop with childbirth, but I love joining courses and programs or communities where people are out there doing the thing that I want to do. Because I know for a fact, because I've done this for 5 years, that the more you surround yourself with people with similar goals or people who have already done what you want to do, it's going to be way easier for you to get there, way easier. So I absolutely recommend taking a childbirth education course to everyone. But also, I just urge people to know that it's not just about the knowledge. You could learn how the birth experience works, like what the stages of labor are, and maybe even like what your options are. But if you just stop there and you don't touch on pain coping and what is pain in the brain and how mindset actually impacts your birth and intuition and autonomy and all of those things, I don't think the birth course is doing you justice. And that's one of the reasons I love your birth course so much, is because you do touch on a lot of those things, which is, it's so important. And you had asked, like, what are things you can do in your everyday life? For me, a huge one that we haven't even mentioned today is assumptions. And especially when it comes to birth, if you can release your assumptions, the chances that you have a better birth experience are exponentially higher. And I actually didn't realize this until several years into my birth work journey. And what actually made me realize it was I was looking in home birth Facebook groups, and there were several women who said, I just gave birth at home. Everything went fine. I'm healthy. My baby's healthy. We didn't even have to transfer, but I'm traumatized by my birth experience. And it just made me step back and think, well, you're fine. Your baby's fine. You gave birth at home. Nothing went wrong. Why are you traumatized? And I went down into that rabbit hole. And what I realized is what came up was that there were assumptions that essentially like weren't met. So the assumption that because you're at home, birth is going to be quicker. The assumption that home is the safest place or hospital is the safest place. The assumption that your partner is going to be able to stand up for you. Just all of these blind assumptions can potentially lead to a negative birth experience. And even the assumption of like, I assume that I'm just going to be able to stand up for myself easily. And when we have those assumptions and that they don't come true, sometimes we look back on our birth experience with really icky feelings. And so I like to ignore those assumptions and set them aside. So I remember when I was pregnant, people would ask me, Kylie, are you planning to have a water birth? And most people would respond to that either yes or no, right? It's like an easy question, yes or no. My answer, I don't know yet. I'm not there. I might love the water. I might not want the water, but I'm not going to even put that into the universe because I trust myself to make the decision when the time comes. People would say, what are you going to do to cope with the pain? Most people would say hypnobirthing or hands-on skills. You know what I said? I don't know yet because I'm not there. I have all of the tools in my tool bag, all of them. I learned about hypnobirthing. I learned about hands-on. I learned about, you know, mindfulness and I held the ice cubes. I did all the things. But when people ask me which one I'm going to grasp onto, I don't know. And so living like that, living more with an I don't know approach, I think is one of the best things we can do for our birth experiences.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You mentioned having all of the tools, which I am yes. always like, knowledge is power. And the more you're never going to have too much of it. I think it like what a benefit to have all of these things to pull from. But just like you had discussed, I did envision scent, like, for example, I love massage, like hands on everything, give it to me. And the way that my husband encouraged me to like do these like deep squats every day was like, for every minute you do your squat, I'll give you a minute of massage at night. Well, I had an hour massage every single night for like the last 6 weeks of labor. And I was so grateful for it because I ended up pushing in that position or like sitting in that position during my pushing phase for like 4.5 hours. So I was like extremely grateful. Maybe that was his intuition to like, no, later on things are gonna need this. And at the time of labor, like he started massaging and I was like, don't touch me. That one's not working. You know, be next to me, hold my hand, don't touch me. And then it was my doula doing counter pressure that I was like, okay, now you don't leave. Like you do this, right? But had I not had other tools like to know, you know, or that he had practiced, like things he was going to say to me or how he was going to help me move around, just, I mean, a million other things. Had I not had that, that would have sucked to only have that one thing and like expect it to be that certain way. I really did. I did have that assumption that I was just going to absolutely love to be rubbed and I didn't. It wasn't harmful in the sense that I had other things to choose from, but I love the idea of like there is some power to like calling your shot, like in certain things, you know, for sure. But the idea of I'm not sure yet. And I like I'm open. I'm allowing myself to be open to whatever this journey, this path looks like, I think is really powerful. I think that's really solid for women to hear today.
Yeah. And, you know, some people confuse that with like going with the flow, but going with like the provider's flow or like not standing up for yourself. And so it wasn't that it's not I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to make a birth plan because birth is unpredictable. It's not, I'm not going to learn anything because I don't know what I'm going to use. It's a very empowered shift of I will make a birth plan and I will be open to whatever comes up. I will learn all of the skills. I will learn all of my options, but I'm not going to hold on to them so tight that when something goes different, that I've lost everything. And I love to think about it like You want to take the whole map to your birth. You don't want to just print out the MapQuest directions where it tells you left on this street, right on this street. Because if you get lost and you only have the MapQuest directions, you're done. There's no way to get back on track. But if you take the entire map, you at any point, no matter what happens, you could look at that map and you could say, I know exactly how to get to where I'm going. And that's exactly the same with birth.
Yeah, it's funny. That's in our birth course, we don't have a birth plan. It is a birth map. And that's the exact idea behind it. Yeah, because there's so many different ways to get to the destination that you're looking for, and definitely different routes and stuff. Some are longer, some are short. It just looks different for everybody. And birth to birth, you know, it's the same thing. But having that information is so important when you're trying, like, I don't know, if stuff comes up or interventions are needed during birth, but you don't have any more information than what the provider is telling you. What are you going to do? You're stuck on the MapQuest directions that they've given you. But I am curious, how do you speak with women about, say that something comes up during labor that they're not okay with? And yes, you can just say no at any point, but how do you speak with them about preparing for that and having that conversation with the provider at the time of? What does that look like for women?
Yeah, absolutely. I even start like way before the birth itself. So to be honest, in my opinion, I think 99% of these situations where you come up to a provider where maybe you want to say no, but you don't feel comfortable saying no. In my opinion, 99% of these situations, there was a red flag at some point during pregnancy that we had ignored. And so I don't wait till like one of the last prenatal appointments to bring this up. It's something that I like to honestly talk to people like in preconception time. So they're looking out for that. So bringing up the questions of, hey, midwife or hey, obstetrician, I want to decline these certain things, but you're having these conversations in your first trimester, second trimester, not literally like the very last appointment, or God forbid, like not during the birth itself. That's not the first time you should be bringing up, like, I want to avoid whatever vaccinations or whatever that is. Have those conversations early. But then also that unwavering confidence and the unwavering knowing of, I am the boss of my body. If it touches my body, if it goes in my body, if it goes on my body, I am the boss. And almost being cocky to a point where it's no matter what anybody says to me, I'm never going to forget that I am the boss of my body. You could tell me a million things, you could coerce, you could do anything, but at the end of the day, I know that I am the boss of my body. That honestly has to be ingrained into women's brains. So that's what I try and do from day one.
I love that. Yeah, that's, I feel like you were like preaching all of the like big things that I'm like soapbox about a lot of the times, and that it, like, I'm like, you're number one, right? It's like, I kind of joke that it's like chicken egg situation. Is it going to be the provider or the knowledge? Because how do you know how to choose a good provider if you don't have the knowledge behind that? And like, anyways, I feel like it goes back and forth, but yeah, your provider, as much as you can say no at any given time, like you don't want to have to be fighting them the whole time. You want to catch those red flags early on so that you have like a really beautiful relationship throughout where you're being supported as the laboring woman, not having to fight for your rights. So, and sometimes we can't avoid that. Sometimes that's very real, you know, military hospitals or insurance or whatever the case, like you end up with who you end up with. But if you have any power over it at all, getting that worked out early on. And the truth of it is, every woman that has done that, that has taken the time to interview a couple different providers and found the one, is like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so glad I did this. Not one person has ever regretted that. Even if it's the interviewing is, I actually did have the best provider out of this practice, and that's who I'm going to choose with. You're never ever going to regret doing the work to be able to figure that out. So super solid. Okay, I do want to take a minute though, and I want to talk about business side of things. I know that there are women listening here today, I know because they tell me, that are obsessed with birth, consider themselves birth nerds, have probably had a baby or two, and just like us, have an extreme passion that is lit within them because of that, feeling called to the work. So talk to me a little bit about the business side of things and what you do with your doula stuff.
Absolutely. So there was a point, I want to say about 2 years ago now, where I had my successful online childbirth education course, which no longer exists. for reasons that we can get into later. But I remember asking my audience, what do you want from me next? Should I make like a postpartum course? Should I make a doula training? Should I make something to teach business? And the overwhelming response was, Kylie, we want you to create a doula training program. Like, so overwhelming that I was like, I have no choice here. Like, there are hundreds of people that want me to create this program. So I would be stupid not to create it. And the funny thing is when I became a doula, I took a 3-day in-person training where in 3 days, not only were there lunch breaks and like community breaks and get to know each other, but like we also fit in preconception, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, bereavement, reproductive rights, and also business in 3 days. Crazy. Yeah. But when I was starting to create our doula training program, I thought, okay, what is everything that I want to cover and how quick can I teach it? And I came up with, okay, I'm going to create a 12-week program, which is way different than a 3-day in-person training, a 12-week program. And then actually, as I started to create it, I realized that 12 weeks wasn't enough. Eventually, it turned into 15 weeks, and then it turned into 6 months. And we even have some ideas in the works to make it a 1-year program going on. Because what I realized is if I want to teach someone how to be a doula, I can't just teach them about birth and then say, okay, good luck, go do it on your own. First of all, we have to take a step back and talk about what's going on in our own brains. And I call it self-mastery, but like self-development, how to understand your own triggers, how to leave your baggage behind when you're attending birth. That's a huge part of being an amazing doula. And so we start there. We start with self-mastery. Of course, we go into birth theory. So what is actually going on when it comes to the birth process? We go into supporting birth in all locations. So I think that's something that's a little special about us too, is that we cover home birth, birth center, hospital birth, free birth, water birth, cesarean, every type of birth we cover, which is really cool. A lot of programs kind of make a stand on the kind of doulas they want to train, where I actually took this whole idea of autonomy and brought it into our doula training too. But actually, I would say one of the most special parts about our training and really just my business in general is that I really spend a lot of time teaching doulas how to make this a successful long-term career for themselves. So if you want to be just like a side gig doula, or you just want to support some of your friends' births, amazing. But honestly, our program is probably not the program for you, because our program is really for the people who want this to be what they do for the next several decades, the people who really want to leave a legacy. And so not only do we teach people how to grow an in-person doula business, which is super important, but we also teach people how to grow really successful online businesses like your business, Stephanie, or like my business. So how to host workshops and create childbirth education programs and coach people virtually. So we don't stop at just attending birth in person, because I do think that's one of the big misconceptions, is that in order to impact someone's life, we have to attend their birth. And obviously, Stephanie knows that that's not true. Creating a podcast could really change the birth world for the better. Creating a course, supporting someone virtually. So we shouldn't limit ourselves to just learning about how to support in person. We should do everything we can to honestly build a business that fits our lifestyle. And for some people, that looks like attending 5, 6, 7 births per month. And for some people, that looks like attending one birth per month and running mother circles and online workshops and having a podcast. So I love really meeting these new aspiring doulas that come into our business, come into our program, and ask them, what do you want your life to look like? And then we essentially help them curate the perfect career for the lifestyle that they want.
I love that. One of my favorite things about doula work or birth education or just being involved in the birth world is you really can take on as much as you'd like and back off as much as you need. We see a lot of, I know that you're aware of this, but like for those that are listening, like doula burnout is very real. And they say like the average is about 2 years before people are like, I can't do it anymore. And it's because we take it on too hard, too fast, too strong. We give up and sacrifice too much of our family's time or our sleep or our mental health. There's a lot that goes into it. So I think the fact that you are incorporating all of that and making a business that works for you is huge. And yeah, for those listening, no, I don't talk about my business part of things a ton, but that started, you mentioned just having like a 3-day training. Like I was a part of a 3-day training. And I remember thinking like, I was working on my birth education at the same time, and I'm like, how is somebody supposed to remember all of that? Like, I know the training that I just had to do for this birth education and get what they need to mom and build a relationship with them in that amount of time. And like, one of the benefits of, you're talking about helping people create childbirth education or something like that, one of the benefits of that is how many more touch points somebody gets to like know you and relate to you and have that relationship before you are in that sacred space of birth, versus like we interviewed one time, I had one or two prenatal appointments, and now I'm in your birth space, which does and can work, but there are other ways to do it, which I think that you've kind of touched on, which is super huge. And I would just imagine that the amount of the quality of doulas that are going to come out of this program or that are existing right now within your program are going to be those life-changing, change the world kind of people. And yes, when you, and like, that's it, that's the best part of it. Like, you feel called to these callings, probably because you're a mother or planning on being a mother at some point. And the reality of motherhood is it changes all the time. When my kids were little, that looks totally different from when they were at an age where I'm like homeschooling them and things like that. Or my husband's business career changed, or we moved again. You know, it everything changes. And doula work is actually something that can ebb and flow with you if you have good information about how to do it right. So I am so excited for your program and for the work that you're doing. So that's incredible.
Thank you. You know how I said at the beginning that I am pretty much like against status quo anything, against status quo birth prep, because it forgets the autonomy and the mindset and the things that really matter. Also against status quo birth work. So I really don't want to put anyone in a box. I don't want to tell someone you have to, you know, attend your first 5 births for free, or you have to do the 2 prenatals and the birth and that's it, or this is what you have to charge. None of that. It's so dynamic and so personal, just like birth. Birth work is the same. So I challenge the status quo, and we're doing things different, because if you take a look at where the status quo got us in terms of birth outcomes, it's not working. So we're shaking it up over here.
Yeah, I like it. For those that are listening, all the information for Kylie and her program, is there a name for your doula course, by the way?
Yeah, Birthworker Academy.
Birthworker Academy. I knew that. Birthworker Academy, all the information is going to be in the show notes. Kylie, tell everybody where they can find you and connect with you too, because you're on Instagram and TikTok and all the places, right? Yes, and you have a podcast. Yes. So what are all those things?
To be honest, the best place right now for you is going to be head over to my podcast. So wherever you're listening to this, you can go to the Birth Worker Podcast, Spotify, Instagram, or Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening, just type in the Birth Worker Podcast. I release 2 episodes per week, and we cover birth topics with amazing birth experts like Stephanie, like Dr. Stu, like Dr. Nathan Riley, Hensi Goer, one of my favorite authors ever. We have some amazing guests, but I also dive pretty deep into business type topics. Again, I'm a huge birth nerd, but also a really big business nerd. So the Birthworker Podcast is the best place to find me. You could always go to birthworker.com if you want to check out what we have, but you could also click to the show notes. Stephanie's going to link everything there.
Yeah. And I will say that I've listened to a couple of the podcasts on Birthworker, especially like when they were first coming out, because I was just so excited for you. But they are so good. They are like, some of them are like quick and succinct and like clear. I also just love the sound of your voice. Like, I like listening to you talk. So that is like a fun thing for me too. But yes, you, like, the people that you have on your podcast are pretty incredible too. There was a woman, she was a doctor from another country, maybe Australia. I could be making that up. But she was talking about electronic fetal monitoring. I don't know if you remember that quite a bit, but a while back. And I was like, this is so interesting. Like, so yes, the birth nerd in me is just like, go there, listen, you can't get enough. Even if you're not like looking to become a doula, this is a place that you can like go and listen and still find education and love for everything birth. So yes, go check that out.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kylie. Thank you so much for your time today, for your expertise, for your passion, for your love for women. It's been really, really awesome to have you on here today. And I know it's going to serve many women to come.
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step, so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.